Hi, this is Paul Jendraziak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined by LZ Granderson. He's the columnist, commentator for CNN and ESPN. How are you doing today, LZ? Hey,
I am doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic.
Great.
Good to have you in.
Hey, you know what? I'm always glad to be a part of anything going on in West Michigan.
Good. So before you ever decided to formally put words down in writing, what sports were you passionate as a kid about growing up in Detroit?
Basketball.
Really?
Basketball, and then more basketball. I used to fall asleep back in the day when the NBA produced these thick almanacs.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do them every year back when people were still reading books. And I used to fall asleep just trying to memorize stats.
Sure.
Stats on top of stats on top of stats. And I can remember crying when the Pistons would lose in the playoffs. I can remember pitching a makeshift tent.
Okay.
In 89 in downtown Detroit. So when the Pistons went down during the parade down Woodward.
Sure.
To celebrate the first championship.
Mm-hmm.
I was right there. The perfect spot to see about 3 minutes worth.
So who was your player or players that you were into the most growing up?
Man, you know, back then, network television only showed you the best players, so you mm-hmm. didn't really see the horrible teams, so you didn't see the horrible players.
Right. Well, there's some fun in that.
So, I mean, obviously, basically everyone on the Pistons from, I don't know, 80 all through Kelly Tripucka years,
sure.
early Isaiah and Billy Laimbeer. Even to now, I still
right.
follow all the Pistons very passionately. But
mm-hmm.
I love Seattle's original Big Three
mm-hmm.
with Xavier McDaniel, Dale Ellis.
Sure.
And whose name's escaping me now. Can you help me?
Oh, no. Boy, I'm drawing a blank, too. And we're in trouble.
A Big Three that had three guys that each averaged 20 points a game. It was awesome.
Okay.
Oh, not Michael Cage. X-Man. God, that sucks. I can't remember. Sorry, guys. You didn't win a championship, so I guess it doesn't matter.
They're out of luck.
You're out of luck. It was a big guy, Tom Chambers.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Tom Chambers.
Okay.
Whew. And then Phoenix Suns, I was a big fan of. The Lakers, Knicks. I just loved basketball.
Sure. Yep. Now, did you have a dream of playing it professionally one day?
No. Oddly enough, that dream never really crossed my mind. I didn't really have dreams.
Okay. Why not?
As a kid. I think it was a combination of things.
Okay.
One, I kind of grew up in an area where kids didn't really talk about their dreams.
Okay.
So I was kind of economically depressed.
Sure.
Everyone was barely getting by, so the last thing you could do was think about tomorrow because you're just trying to make it for today.
Sure.
I think another aspect of that was in my household in particular, I had like an abusive relationship with my stepfather.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to dream big.
Okay.
When you're oppressed in that fashion. So when I look back, like my son, I have a 15-year-old now.
Sure.
He tells me his dreams all the time, which is kind of cool. And I always look back and go, man, I didn't really have dreams.
But there certainly must have been a turning point for you. I mean, you've done very well, columnist at ESPN, CNN. So there must have been a turning point where you decided to have dreams and go after these things, yes?
Not really. I think my goal was never to work for ESPN.
Okay.
My goal was never to work for CNN.
Okay.
I can remember watching ESPN Sports Center in my college dorm when they used to do the loop over and over and over again.
Okay.
Watch it with all my dorm mates and never in that go, man, I wish I could work there.
Okay.
it was, I don't know why my mind kind of functions like that, but
okay.
I never get too far ahead of myself. It's just been for the day.
Just kind of a go with the flow zen kind of thing, maybe?
Kind of go with the flow.
Okay,
yeah, never
okay.
Never really, CNN approached me.
Okay.
ESPN approached me.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've chased
okay.
a job.
Okay.
I always try to be very, very good in the
sure.
place where I was at.
Sure, sure. So at what point did you decide to merge writing with your love of sports?
Boy, I hate to disappoint you, but all these decisions weren't very conscious.
Okay.
Just sort of
happened.
Yeah, I was a writer.
Okay.
And I grew up a writer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a God-given gift that I learned to hone and forge.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't occur to me that I could make a living at it until I was maybe my junior year,
okay.
junior year in college.
Okay.
I just wrote because I loved to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then with sports, it never really occurred to me to try to make a living at it until I
okay.
was out of college.
Sure.
I covered college sports when I was at Western. I went to Western Michigan University, and I worked for the Western Herald and WIDR, the radio station
there.
And so I talked about sports, and I covered sports, and I had a beat, but it never really occurred to me that I could get a job this way until I was out of college.
Okay. So who are some of the sports writers that you were following as you were coming up?
Number one was Mitch Albom.
All right.
Originally from Detroit, as I said, and Mitch was king.
Sure.
What I always wanted to be able to do was write like Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in his cadence,
okay,
his choices, but in the sense of his ability to make the reader feel something.
Okay.
So I guess if there was any goal growing up, maybe not necessarily a monetary or career occupational focused one, but just in terms of one's own abilities, I just wanted to be able to write like Mitch.
Okay.
Michael Wilbon.
Mm-hmm.
To know that he knows my name today, it just blows me away, because I was like, you know, that was the dude.
A high honor.
Oh, dude. It never occurred to me again.
Right.
That, you know, I could be where he is.
Sure.
I just really appreciated his writing. Leonard Pitts wasn't specifically a sports columnist, but he, another one like Mitch, just had a way with words that always made you feel something. You didn't always agree.
Sure.
But you felt something.
But you connected with what he was saying.
Exactly.
And what he printed.
Yep.
So the pieces that you do often focus on the social and human aspects of sports. What sparked your interest in going in that direction?
I think seeing the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, I wrote about sports in college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you are covering the X's and O's and the stats and the box score and the box sheets, you see the world through one prism.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you spend more and more time covering these athletes as people, you start connecting other dots that are indirectly impacting, you know, scores, you know, like academics, for instance. And, okay, well, why isn't this kid academically eligible?
Sure.
Well, they don't have the know-how to do the schoolwork. Well, why is that? And how did they get into college if they didn't have?
Right.
You know, so you start connecting these thoughts. And that's when I just really started to dive more into the social aspects, because I realized that we may necessarily see it overtly on the playing field.
Right.
But those dynamics are directly impacting what we do ultimately see on the field.
Well, and then on the other end of it, somebody who's a well-known athlete, how they're impacting people socially who are in grade school, high school, college. People look up to them. People want to emulate them. So they, whether they want to or not, I guess maybe bear some burden of responsibility, or, you know, they're a role model whether they wanted to be or not.
They should, you know, definitely recognize they have influence.
Sure.
Now, what they do with it is ultimately up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't deny the fact that they do have cultural influence, influence over young people.
Sure.
I don't like to dictate, you know, who's a role model, who's not.
Right.
I just like to make them aware of the fact that they have influence.
Right,
and
right.
You can opt to do with that whatever you choose. I was in New York, and I was actually on set when Andy Roddick announced his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we're talking about, this is at the U.S. Open in New York, and as we're talking about Andy's impact, we spent a lot of time talking about the things that he did on the court, on the tennis court, and for Americans tennis. And then I started talking about some of the cultural things about Andy. Like, Andy kept tennis culturally relevant through who he dated, through who he married, commercials, things like that. And some guys on Twitter hit me up and was like, oh, that's stupid, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I go, I'm not making this up.
Right.
You know, we've always looked at the cultural and pop cultural impact athletes have had. And I went as far back as DiMaggio marrying Marilyn Monroe.
Right,
and
absolutely.
What big news that was.
Yes.
You know, and it had nothing to do with, you know, what he's doing on the diamond, but it was all about, you know, Hollywood and the glitz and the power. And I was like, Andy was that for us during the 2000s for tennis.
Right, right.
You know, I think he dated Mandy Moore. He hosted Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. He married Brooklyn Decker.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's all part of it. But that aspect of sports have always intrigued me.
Right, right. And how those culture and sports marry each other, so to speak.
Absolutely. And the athletes today, particularly the professionals, are just getting so much more savvier about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're aware of it. They monetize it. They leverage it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I really like what LeBron James has been doing with his leverage.
Sure.
In pop culture.
But is it so much them or is it their handlers?
I think it's a combination.
Okay, okay.
I think a lot of these guys go into it now in today's time with awareness of how to apply themselves in those areas as well.
Sure.
They may not necessarily have the connections right away to do it themselves.
Right.
But they certainly aren't sitting back as these empty shells and people are coming around saying, hey, have you thought about this? Trust me. A lot of these guys, they've thought about it.
Sure.
And they're implementing it.
They've got a roadmap going into the thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.